Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where we discuss the biblical roots of our people and our faith. Linked to Accurate Precious Metals Refineries, our morning show sponsor at HebrewNationOnline.com. Lines are open, so call 503-967-3001 if you would like to join in the conversation. You can also chat with us online in the morning show chat room at HebrewNation.net.
And welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show this beautiful Wednesday morning with Teresa Castellino and me, Kimberly Rogers. And it's sunny and nice outside today, Teresa. Yay. Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Finally. A sunny Wednesday.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you. Uh-huh. And we're going to get right to our guest because this lady we've had on before, and the first time that we had her on, we had tremendous response, by the way, yeah, from her show. And she is just a wealth of information, is a virtual library of scriptures regarding safe places and prophecies in the scriptures. And I don't want to hold her back because, you know, she told me she has 16 pages of notes.
Wow. And so, isn't that good information to know?
Yeah.
Now, not the only thing to know, you know, but that is good information to have.
Yeah. So we're going to say good morning to you, Joni.
And good morning. So happy to be here again.
Well, we are happy to have you back. And and I want to tell people before you get started that we are going to make a special announcement in the next hour, and it's going to be related to what you're going to tell us in the first hour. So everybody stay tuned for the second hour as well. Joni, you had so much information the last time that you were on, and I know you didn't even get halfway through it.
Yeah.
So, do you want to recap a little bit, or do you just want to go ahead and
pick
start
up
out?
Left off.
Yeah.
I believe the Father it would have me jolt everybody just a little bit to
go
start
ahead.
With.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
So many of our family and friends are believing they're going to be raptured out of here. And I know most of your listeners have come to the point of not realizing that, but do they realize Yeshua's last words to us are in Revelations? That's his revelation, and he's speaking. And he tells us in Revelation 7 about the 144,000 that are virgins that are going to go out and repopulate the world with their virgin brides, but also those that they've come from, which is all of the nations that have been gathered together from all the tribes and tongues. And we just assume that that's those that have been evaporated up in the air, but it's not, because the angel says they are in their white robes and they were worshiping the Yeshua on the throne. And the angel says to John, who are these in the white robes? And John says, I don't know, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come from the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And we miss that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
All of the tribes and tongues have come from the tribulation. If they've come from the tribulation, they had to have been in the tribulation. Mm-hmm. So we have to wake up that we are facing being in the tribulation. And then if we go to Revelation 20, it shoots the rapture when it tells us that the first resurrection is those who are beheaded for not taking the mark of the beast. And they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Ah, But then it says the rest of the dead remain in the grave for the 1,000 years until the shofar blows and we are gathered together in the air and they're raised. So all of the church is waiting for this resurrection of the dead now, and it is clearly not until the end of the 1,000-year reign.
Right.
So this tweaks us that we need to be aware of the fact that we're going to be in tribulation. Now, it also tells us that we won't be gathered together in 2 Thessalonians 2, does it not? Until, and that gathering together is actually for congregation. It's the word synagogue. But we won't, don't be deceived. You won't be gathered together until that anti-Messiah is revealed, that serpent who is Satan himself, who is anomos, lawless. It means against or without. Nomos is always the Torah. So we are tweaked by these things, that this is why the Lord is opening our eyes to seeing the whole book and making it all make sense by keeping the commandments and having our testimony of Yeshua, which is what we must have in Revelation, correct?
Right.
In order, and not even love our lives unto death. So when we are concerned about all that's happening in the Middle East, we are not to love our life unto death, but we're to do what the Father's going to tell us here in the scriptures and be obedient to him in spite of that. Because if we do die, we'll be with him. But guess what? We'll be in the grave for 1,000 years, and we want to be the ones who are in reigning with him in the 1,000 years, do we not?
Yes,
so we need to be aware of this woman in Revelation 12 that flees to the wilderness. And in the past, we've been taught that's just the Jews. But now we know we are Israel. It's right there in Ephesians 2. And we have the privilege of having the inheritance of Abraham. That's in Galatians 3, that we have the privilege of that. And yes, it's the seed of Yeshua, but it's also a seed for our family. Now, if we don't make it into the tribulation, our family is going to miss out, because they are going to be multiplied incredibly. The small child is going to make 1,000 during that 1,000 years. The least little baby is going to have a whole nation come forth. So our families have the opportunity to be increased incredibly if we are part of the 1,000-year reign. So we've got to heads
up. Exciting.
Get our future straight. So the woman is carried into the wilderness, and it is the wilderness. Where are the wildernesses? They're all here in Jordan and the south of Israel. There, it's the wilderness of Sinai, the wilderness of Sin, the wilderness of Paran, the wilderness of the Red Sea, and they are all right here in the very south.
Or hey,
in
Joni,
the region. Yes.
Joni, I need to ask you a question, because, pardon?
I said good.
Oh, there is an understanding among Hebrew Roots believers that there will be camps of the righteous all over the earth. And without going into all the reasons for that.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
Let me tell you what the word says. 15 times Yahweh says, I am going to utterly destroy or bring to full end. And the meaning in the Hebrew of that is to utterly consume by fire all the nations. He says it 15 times, even into the New Testament in 2 Peter 3. It's saying it. It's all over the place, and we're missing that. So it is very incredible that for a short, very short period, it may be. And remember, he tells us in Ezekiel, now I've sent you into the nations, and I'm a little sanctuary for you. And it doesn't mean that. That word little is not an adjective. It means time. For a little time, I'm a sanctuary for you there. And yes, America has been a tremendous sanctuary for us, and we are all so grateful that we have been there. But it's time for the judgment of all the nations, and it's already begun. That's why the troubling in the Middle East. That's why the troubling in Africa. And those people are all coming here, both to Israel and to Jordan, in the tens of thousands. They're already emptying their nations because of the terror that is there. And it is going to spread to all of the countries.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that you don't believe that the Lord is going to have pillars of cloud and fire in isolated camps all over the world. That you're either going to be in these places of safety in the where you're going to tell us where they are, or you risk being destroyed along with.
And those who have been praying for this great rapture, perhaps by nuclear. At this point, America needs to be judged for the atom bombs that they had did in the Second World War. And this time it's going to be nuclear. So Right. It's very clear that as there's fires all over the earth, it's because all of the nations now, all of the Middle East, they've all got the nuclear in weapons and in bombs. And so it's going to be a devastation that is worldwide. I may have to give you those 15 places that it says it, but he says it over and over again.
Yeah, well, go ahead and do that.
I have to say just that this is the first time I've heard the United States being judged for having dropped an atom bomb on others. And that makes sense. I'm not saying anything against it. I just hadn't heard that before.
And the mystery of Babylon, what does he say about her judgment? And I believe it's the economic system, but especially America, because she's been head of the world trade, and that is quickly changing now. China has come in, and Jordan has signed up with China, as has Israel, for the trade, for a new trade instead of America, but it's been America. And so what does it say? Come Isaiah 26:20-21. Well, that's not the one. Revelation 18:4, about the mystery Babylon. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins, that you do not partake of her plagues. Her plagues come in one day. Alas, that great city, that mighty city, for in one hour is her judgment. She is judged. So it's going to be a quick judgment. And so we need to be pray to the Lord and ask him to reveal to you some of these things in the scriptures that I'm going to be sharing with you today. For the fact is that you must make a decision of whether you're going to be burnt up with the nations or whether you are going to do what the Father says. Okay, now, where the woman goes is called the wilderness. And I've told you they're here in the south of Israel and in Jordan. The same wilderness as always. And she is going to be protected for the 3.5 years. In fact, she's going to be fed there. And it was a place prepared by Yahweh. So it's not in the heavens. We know that. And he's going to be making war with the remnant of her seed that have not come out into the wilderness. But they're those who are keeping the commandments and have the testimony of Yeshua. Now, who is that? Well, that's what he's brought us all into, isn't it? Okay, now, let's go to Hosea 2. We want to talk because that's the safety place. And you know, I've got to remind you again, it's Daniel 11:41, where the anti-Messiah enters into all the countries and is overflowing them all. And he passes over and he even enters into the glorious land. That's Israel. Okay. And many are overthrown, but these escape out of his hand, Edom and Moab, and not the area of Ammon, but the chief sons of Ammon. This is Jordan. All of that is Jordan. So now let's go to Hosea 2. Therefore, this is verses 14 through 20. Behold, I'm alluring her, and that's Israel. That's who we are. And bringing her into the wilderness and speaking comfortably to her. And I give her vineyards there and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Now, when we came here to this country, the Arabs were telling us that this is the Valley of Achor because our company, trade company, was Door of Hope. So they were telling us that. And I'm saying, now, wait a minute. That's up at the north end of the Dead Sea. It's called Valley of Achor in the scriptures. And I was just questioning the Lord, and I heard him ask me, where is the lowest point on earth? And I said, oh, it's the Dead Sea. And so he said, the valley is all the way around the Dead Sea. And yes, it comes down to right here in the south of Jordan. And she's going to sing there as in the days of her youth. And it is going to be the door of hope in the last days. Because the word for last days is the phonetic of Achor. But Achor means trouble and tribulation. Okay, so, but it for us, this is going to be the door of hope. And it's going to be as in the time when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says Yahweh, that you'll call me Ishi, my husband, and no longer call me Baali, because I'm going to take the names of the Baals out of your mouth. And that's why I call him Elohim and not God, because that's a Baal name. And in that day, I will make a covenant with them, even with the beast of the field, and I will cause them to lie down safely, and I betroth you to me forever. Catch that. He marries us in the wilderness. Yes, I betroth you to me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I even betroth you to me in faithfulness, and then you know that I am Yahweh. Okay, now let's talk about this great gathering that is going on now, and it has been going on. We're coming by the thousands here. Behold,
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
I just saw a relation when you were saying that there was a door of hope, that in Revelations, the Church of Philadelphia, he says, I put a door before you that no man can close.
Yes.
That's great.
Okay. We love Jeremiah 31:31 about the new covenant. I'm going to make the new covenant for you. Now, you've got to look up that word in the Greek and the Hebrew. It also means renewed. So we know it's that everlasting covenant renewed. And of course, we know it's renewed by the shedding of the blood of the perfect sacrifice, Yeshua. But that's the covenant that's made there, and it's with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. But in Jeremiah 32, he's saying this, behold, I am gathering them out of all the countries where I drove them there in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I'm bringing them again to this place. He's speaking of Israel, and I will cause them to dwell there safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, and I give them one heart and one way, so that they fear me forever for the good of them and all their children after them. And I make an everlasting covenant with them, that I do not turn away from them to do them good. And I put my fear in their hearts so that they do not depart from me. Yes, I rejoice over them to do them good. And I plant them in this land, assuredly, with all of my heart and with all of my soul. For thus says Yahweh, like I brought all this great evil upon this people, there's great evil coming. Yes, I bring upon these all the good that I've promised them, and the fields are bought in this land where you say it's desolate without men or beasts. It's given into the hand of the Chaldeans, the Arabs. And that's what you'll say when you drive through Israel and you see all the empty places, but they're inhabited by the Bedouins and the Arabs. But the men will be buying fields, subscribing witnesses and sealing them. It's going to be in the land of Benjamin, the places around Jerusalem, the cities of Judah, and the cities of the mountains. The mountains are Jordan. The higher mountains are Jordan. Judea is the Judean hills. The higher mountains are in Jordan. When Yeshua tells us to flee to the mountains, it's to Jordan. Okay, and it's also in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south. And so we're both in the mountains and we're in the south. For I caused the captive ones who once were prosperous to return, says Yahweh. That is repeated in Ezekiel 11, 17 through 20, and Ezekiel 36, 22 through 28 says the same thing. Three witnesses that he's going to gather you from all the nations where you have been. Okay, now we want to go to another gathering that'll tell us about some of the places in our Psalms 107. Now, 107 says, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. I'm starting with verse 1. Okay. His mercy is for forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say, we are redeemed from the hand of the enemy Tsar, in the Hebrew it's Tsar, and gathered from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south, and that word is sea. What is the South Sea in relationship to Israel? Only the Red Sea, which is the Gulf of Aqaba, which is where I am right here. And also this reminds me of Isaiah 43 that I said to you a few weeks ago. And now thus says Yahweh who created you, Jacob, and formed you, Israel, stop fearing, for I'm your Redeemer calling you by your name, you to me. Stop fearing, for I am with you. And then he's with us through the waters and he's with us through the fires. I come from the east, bringing your seed, gathering you from the west, saying to the north, give them up. And they did when the wall came down in the late 80s. And to Taman only this is. The south word there is Taman. Taman is interesting. It's Yaman, the right hand, with the Tav in front. So it's completing the right hand of Yeshua in that area. And it's the whole south of Jordan down to Mount Sinai. And he says to Taman, you stop holding back the coming of my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone called by my name. For glory I created him, I formed him, and off your version says I made him. And if you look up in the scriptures what that really means, it means I've gathered you to myself. And he said it to Taman. So there we are in the wilderness. Okay, now back to 107. Now, it says, we've got them gathered, and they're going to be wandering in the wilderness in a solitary way. And then some of them find a city of habitation there, and that's good. But then there's also those that are in chains, bound in affliction. You know why? This is verse 10, and 11 says why. Because they rebelled against the words of Yahweh and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought them down their hearts with hard labor, and they fell down, and there's none to help. And so guess what? Over and over again in this psalm, it says, they cry to Yahweh. You got to know his name, folks, in their trouble. And he saves.
We'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned. You carry me through the darkest night.
shadow of death into the light. Let's get funded at mightyfun.net.
KPJC Salem.
Welcome back to the second half hour of the Hebrew Nation Morning Show on Wednesday morning with Teresa Casolino and me, Kimberly Rogers. And our guest this morning is Joni, who is an expert in the places of safety, the prophecies about the end of days, and all of that. And she was just about to get to tell us that the Lord is going to lead us to Edom. Very few people probably understand that, right, Joni?
That's right. And it starts with verse 29 of Psalm 107, where they've been tossed and turned in the ocean, but he makes the waves quiet and he brings them to their desired haven. That word is makuz. Kefetz is desired, and it means an enclosed, protected harbor. There is not another harbor in the entire world that is safe with still waters as this one here at Aqaba, which has the long finger down to the rough Red Sea, and it has that underground bridge that the children walked on that blocks, because it's very deep. But it is a very, very safe and secure place. Then it talks about the lands that have many rivers are going to be turned into dry ground, and the fruitful lands are going to be turned into barrenness. But the wilderness, which is here in Jordan, is going to become having a standing water. And we had that when we moved here. It's already been found. It's the best water in all the Middle East. And the dry ground into water springs. That's what happens to the wilderness, where he says it's going to become the Garden of Eden. So this is the important things that are going on here. And he's going to put the princes that are disturbing his people into, it says the wilderness, send them to the wilderness, but that's not what it is. It's the tohu and bahu, the empty and void wasteland where there's no way out. But for his people, he's going to put them on high. Now then, Psalm 108 tells them exactly where. They're singing all his praises for the first five verses. And then it says they're singing the praises that your beloved might be delivered. Save with your right hand, Yahweh, and answer me. And then it says, Elohim speaks in his holiness. I rejoice. I'm dividing up Shechem, that's in Israel, and meeting out the valley of Sukkot. It's going to be bad in the north here in Sukkot. But Gilead is mine, that's Jordan. Manasseh is mine, Jordan. Ephraim also is the strength of my head. It's Jordan, and Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. He's going to do a great washing in Moab, the middle of Jordan. But over Edom, I cast my shoe. And that means he is taking his shoe off and walking on it with the soles of his feet, possessing it. That is what it's talking about there. It's also in Psalm 60, verse 8. And yeah, it's the same thing. So it's in there twice in the scriptures. And he says, I cast my shoe over Edom, and over the Philistines, I'm triumphing. That's the Palestinians. Who is bringing me into this strong city? That word is Basra. Who is leading me into Edom? Is it not you, Elohim, who had cast us off or dispersed us into all the nations? And will you not, Elohim, go with all of our hosts of people? Give us help from trouble, for help from man is vain, isn't it? but through Elohim we do valiantly. He it is that treads down our enemies, and he it is who leads you to Edom.
Wow. Anybody? All that in Psalm 60.
That was in Psalm 107 and Psalm 108, and then it's also in Psalm 60, verse 8. Very important. There are two things we want to be where he wants us to be so that we can feed his people and be the ones that Yeshua finds when he comes here. And we'll read that in Luke 12:42. Yahweh says, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom Yahweh makes his ruler over his household and gives them their portion of food in the due season? And in Matthew 24:45, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has made ruler over his household to give them their food in the due season? It's in there twice. Now, there's two prayers in the scriptures you need to be praying for this time. The first one is Zephaniah 2:1-3. Gather yourselves together. Gather, nation not desired, before the decree comes forth, before the day passes as chaff, before the wrath of Yahweh comes upon you, before the day of Yahweh's wrath comes on you. Seek Yahweh, all you meek, humble of the earth, who have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, humbleness, and it may be that you'll be hidden in the day of Yahweh's anger. Now go to Luke 21:35-36. Watch you therefore and pray. Wait, I got to go the verse right before it. It's when Jerusalem is surrounded by the enemies and destruction is at hand. For as a snare, a trap, this destruction comes on all who dwell on the face of the earth. Did you hear that? It's for everybody's going to be under that destruction. So here's the prayer that we're to be praying. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Even the New Testament is shouting it to us, isn't it?
Wow.
Okay. Now, a few more things on the gathering. Well, also, I've got the three places that talk about the three destinies, if you want those. That's Revelations 13:10, Daniel 11:33, and Jeremiah 15:2, and also Jeremiah 43:11, that says, he that leads into captivity, he goes, and he that kills by the sword will be killed by the sword, and here is the patience and the faith of the saints. For the remnant, there is a great deliverance. So those are important to us. The end of all the nations. In Jeremiah 46:27-28, it says, fear not, my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, Israel, for behold, I will save you from far off and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob does return and is at rest and at ease, and none make him afraid. Fear not, Jacob, my servant, says Yahweh, for I am with you, for I will make a full end, utter consumption by fire of all the nations where I've driven you, but I will not make a full end of you, but correct you in measure. Yes, yet I will not leave you wholly unpunished. So we need to be checking our sins and cleaning up our act, don't we? That was Jeremiah 46:27-28. This is 46. Zephaniah. Yeah, 46:27-28. This is Zephaniah 3:8-9. Therefore, wait upon me, says Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I assemble the kingdoms and pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. And then I will return to the people a purified, clarified, simplified language that they may all call upon the name of Yahweh together to serve him with one consent.
I'm laughing because mine just says a pure language, but you were like, yes. Simplified, purified, simple.
That's what that word means, clarified, and that's what it means. So Zephaniah 3:12 says, and I'll also leave in the midst of you an afflicted, poor people, but they shall trust in the name of Yahweh. And Zephaniah 3:17 through 20, Yahweh, my Elohim, is in the midst of you. He's mighty. He saves. He rejoices over you with joy. He rests in his love. He joys over you with singing. I gather those that are sorrowful over the solemn assembly. That's the Moedim. We're grieving over those feasts not being performed. They're the ones that he's coming for. Who are of you to whom the reproach of it was a burden, as we are going ahead and doing them and people think we shouldn't. Behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict you and save you and gather you who was driven out, and I will get you praise and fame in every land where you had been put to shame. At that time, I bring you again, even in the time I gather you, for I make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. When I return back those who were captive among you that once were prosperous before your eyes, says Yahweh. There are so many places where he talks about that gathering.
Yeah.
Now, do I have any time left?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you've got plenty of time.
I'm going to go back to Song of Solomon. I told you about two things that were in Jordan, but there's actually seven places where she is. Now, even the rabbis considered this the story of marriage with the Father, Yahweh, and it's his bride with the Father and their relationship. And they even talk about it. And of course we do, because we know it's Yeshua. And so here's who we're talking about, the bride. And let's see, you might find it over here. No. Okay, got to go back to here. I want to do the seven places. Okay, well, I get it right here. Okay, first of all, in chapter 1, verse 5, she is talking about herself being dark like the tents of the Kedar, which is the Bedouin, and I'd shared that one with you. The second place is in 2:14. It says, my dove, which is the bride, is in the clefts of Selah. That's the word for rock there. In the secret stairways, making refuge, let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice, for sweet is your voice and your countenance is comely. So it is Selah, is Petra, and this is the one with the stairs. Then you go to 2:17, and it says, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or the young hart upon the mountains of Batar. Batar is a clefted, divided rock, which is also Petra. It's the Petra Sikh, which you may get to come to one day. Then in Song of Solomon 4:16, it says, awake, north wind, and come thou, Taman, that's the word for south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden. So where is his garden? Taman. South of Jordan. And then in 6:13, return, Shulamite, that's the bride's name, return, that we can look on you. And what is it we see in the Shulamite? Oh, the company of two armies. That's Mahanaim. That is in Jordan. That's where Jacob split up his family into two camps to present them to Esau. That's where he said to Esau, I will come and follow you. And then he didn't. He turned away. And now his bride, that's us, Judah and Ephraim as one new man in Israel, and we are those two companies, and where are we to be? It's in Jordan.
Okay, so repeat that one again about the two armies.
The two armies. That word is Mahanaim. You know when Jacob split up his family.
Mahanaim.
And it was here in Jordan. It was more in the north. But it was here. But he promised Esau that his people would come there. And guess what? We're fulfilling that. We're making him not a liar because we're fulfilling that now. We're coming to the city of Esau, which is Petra. And in chapter 8:5, she comes from the wilderness leaning on her beloved. Where is she? In the wilderness, folks, the south of Jordan. 8:14, the last verse mentions the mountains of spices, which is on the spice road, which is the king's highway coming right up straight up through Jordan. So I've named to you seven times he's telling us to be in the south of Jordan.
Wow. I wrote those down. Okay, I'll have them in the synopsis.
Okay, how are we doing?
We're doing good.
Do I have more time?
Yeah, you have about 7 minutes.
7 minutes, okay. Yeah. Where do I go, Father? Okay. Okay, I did that one. Oh, I know one I want to tell you about because it's happened to us. Remember me telling you, you know, we're all waiting for a shofar to be blown? Well, guess where it's blown? It's blown in Zechariah 9. Oh, that's the one I want, and then I want Amos. Okay, I got it, Lord. All right, Zechariah 9:12-14. Now, I've got to tell you the context here. It's when the Shaddad, that is the name for the destroyer, the anti-Messiah, is destroying all the nations and the Lord rises up. But it's also when the travel ceases. And it says in verse 12, turn you to the stronghold. That word is Basra. You prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double to you. That's the double portion. When I bend Judah for me and fill the bow with Ephraim, he's putting the two together, right? And raise up your son, O Zion, against the sons of Greece, which is the Roman system, and make you as the sword of a mighty man. And Yahweh is seen over them, and his arrow goes forth as lightning. And Adonai Yahweh blows the shofar and goes in the whirlwinds of Taman. That word south is Taman. When we first did the feast here in back in 98, we had blown the shofar for 8 nights and came 2 weeks later. We were going to do the first new moon, the Rosh Kodesh. But anyway, we couldn't blow it. It wouldn't blow, and we'd blown it every night, and it wouldn't blow.
Why?
So, our leader said, well, let's go inside the house, and maybe we can blow it in there, because we'd been told that the people were talking about the shofar blowing there, because they don't blow the shofar. Okay, so and then we got in, and it wouldn't blow, and then we went in the back hall, and it wouldn't blow. So we went back out to the campfire, and we finished our prayers and had a wonderful time. There's 30 of us, 13 of them were Sudanese refugees that we were housing, and the rest were us that are still here. And all of us heard this from the heavens. The shofar blew.
Wow.
And we, wow. So I looked around, and oh, there's apartments up there. Probably somebody's over here did that.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the week, we were having 8 o'clock prayer twice more in our prayer, the shofar blows 3 times from heaven. And even the Sudanese heard it, and they looked up. They knew it was from heaven. And it was 3 times. And here I found it right there in Zechariah 9:12-14. That's what's going to happen. When he puts us together here, he's going to be blowing the shofar over us again. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that'll be something.
Okay. That's what's ahead for us. Okay, let's, I want to find Amos 9.
Well, you said there were, did you say there were two places for the shofar being blown?
No, that's it.
Okay.
But it happened to us already right here in Timon.
Sweet.
In the south of Jordan. Okay, so now I'm getting Amos for you because this one is awesome. It's the very end of Amos in chapter 9 and starting with verse 8. Behold, the eyes of Yahweh are upon the It's Adonai Yahweh, excuse me, are upon the sinful kingdom, and I destroy it from off the face of the earth. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
All of the
wow.
sinful kingdom is destroyed. Saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says Yahweh. For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations, like grain is sifted in a sieve, but I do not lose the least grain. It will not fall to the earth. That's if it's true Israel, folks. All the sinners, because here he says this in verse 10, all the sinners of my people die by the sword, who say the evil is not going to overtake or prevent us.
Wow.
In verse 11, in that day I raise up the tabernacle of David again, that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. And the tabernacle of David is the one of praise. So we're going to be here praising. And it says, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom.
Okay, so and let me break in here, Joni,
well,
because...
I got one thing more. And all
okay.
the nations call by my name. And that word for remnant means the escaped ones. And thus says Yahweh, who does this.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question, because now that I have gotten a glimmer of this understanding, and it started in my own heart and soul last year, as I told you that, you know, I did some of this teaching at Sukkot last year. It started to dawn on me that things are going to be a lot different than even Hebrew Roots people believe.
Yes.
So one of the things that I'm thinking is that what we've done is, instead of having a rapture theory where we've got a, you know, camps of the righteous all over the world theory, and do you think our evil speech that the Lord says will lead us to be destroyed?
Yes, all the nations are going to be destroyed. Okay, now I can't tell you. I do think there'll be places that will be hiding people for a while, but it's going to be a short time, and probably to get them onto ships.
Okay.
Come by ships. The airways are going to be so congested with bombs and with rockets and with they're going to have to come by ships. And so I know that's what many of those places are doing. They're in places where they can get them onto ships. But you see, for the wise and faithful servant, it gets to come early. And then they're the ones that come out of Mitzrayim, which means tribulation. That is the same word, Mitzar.
Right.
And so, but they get to come with their stuff, some of them. Now is the time to come and get to bring some of your stuff. If you wait, you may be coming with the shirt on your back is all.
Right.
So, and he says in that Psalm 107, they come and they prepare a place of habitation for my people. So there is a job to be done here.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. I don't know enough.
Well, I'm blowing you away, but it is the truth.
well, Joni, we're running out of time here, and it's just, talking with you, you know, I get this sometimes when people listen to me talk, but you're so full of information. It's like drinking from a fire hose. Thank you for coming on. Can you come on again?
Yes, and I'll be in Texas for 3 months this summer.
Okay.
Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where we discuss the biblical roots of our people and our faith. Linked to Accurate Precious Metals Refineries, our morning show sponsor at HebrewNationOnline.com. Lines are open, so call 503-967-3001 if you would like to join in the conversation. You can also chat with us online in the morning show chat room at HebrewNation.net.
And welcome to the second hour of the Hebrew Nation Morning Show this Wednesday morning with Teresa Casolino and me, Kimberly Rogers. Wow, Teresa.
I'm going to need, I'm going to need your help with some of that because, I don't know a lot about with respect to that. I mean, it's just a lot of information, great information.
Yes. And I thought that I had studied those scriptures and I'm going to have to pull out the podcast and listen to it, go and get the scriptures. And man, this, she is just such a good teacher and so full of information. Yeah. So we're going to have her back on. Just incredible information. You know, I said this last year. In fact, I've been saying it for quite a while, but really last year I got the spirit, you know, the notion that, the Great Tribulation is going to be far different for us than even we know. And, you know, I think that really
what
we're,
teaching do you have that on?
That was at my Sukkot teachings. That one was called the Kingdom of Israel, the nation we inherit.
But you've got it on the Messianic Message, don't you?
Yeah, that's on themessianicmessage.com. Yes. And some of what she talked about is in that teaching. And I have begun to lean toward what she has said, without being prompted by her, but that we don't need to be counting on, like, you know, the Lord is going to put a little special camp in, you know, Washington State, you know, or somewhere in Texas, and we're all going to go there and be safe. You know, we're going to start out that way, but sometime during the Great Tribulation, and probably rather quickly, we're going to get to those places of safety in the Middle East. And if we don't, I think we're going to be in big trouble. And so to that end, we have our next guest, which is,
thank you.
Yeah, which is, Aliana Humphreys, who is the tour coordinator for the tour that I'm taking to Jordan and Israel next January, starting on the 10th. So how are you, Aliana?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, you have a company called Journeys Are Us, and you are a Hebrew roots believer. And in fact, you do, you know, the tours for Rico and Brad and Bill, you know, all these guys that we know. You tour, or you coordinate their tours for them. In fact, you were on the tour when I was in Israel with Rico this past January. You and Ron were both there. And, so I asked you to help me put together this next tour called Returning Home. It's called Returning Home because I want to take people to those places that we're going to be in during the Great Tribulation, where the woman is going to be nourished. And you were excited. You and Ron both got excited about that.
Yes, very excited. As you know, Journeys Are Us is not your cookie cutter tour company. We actually do custom tours. Which we custom them after what each host is looking to do, like yourself. And I'm very excited about your tour because it's very different, and it has a great message. And I believe that it's going to minister to a lot of people.
Wow.
So yeah.
That'll be great. How many people have you guys been responsible for, you know, been involved with the number of people that have gone over to Israel? I'm just curious. Do you know?
You mean how many total have we taken?
Yeah.
I would say probably now over 1,000.
Pretty cool.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
That's a lot of people when you think that, you know, you're taking anywhere from 25 to 35 on an average tour. That's a
right.
lot. That's a lot of tours, Aliana.
Well, Ron's been over. I think this is going to be his 36th time going, 34th time going, and I'm a little bit behind him because I didn't get to go on all the tours. But we do go on all the tours to make sure everything runs smoothly, make sure everybody's taken care of. So that's one thing that we do as a tour company. We accompany the tours and make sure everybody's taken care of, make sure everybody has a great time, and love meeting the people. We've just met some wonderful people all over the world. So even though we do tours, it's also a ministry. So we look at this as a ministry, not a business.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, you do an excellent job. Everything goes off without a hitch. I mean, you know, once we got to the airport, you showed up, Ron showed up, and it was like you just kind of herded us all, and here we went on the airplane. We got off the airplane, and you put us on the bus, and then we got to the hotel, and you checked us in. I have never seen anything so smooth. And the reason I know that that is really smooth is because I used to be a front desk manager in Las Vegas, and I've seen tours that were really really a mess, believe me. So I know a good tour operator when I see one, and you guys definitely have it going on.
Well, I Ron and I are a great team together. We both love Israel so much, and we just want to get as many people there as possible to experience God's land and where his name's at, and so it's exciting. It's truly exciting.
Well, and I now have this angst about getting people over there to not only see Israel, you know, where we're going to be, you know, in Jerusalem and Galilee and those areas. We're going to go there on this tour, but I want people to see where they're going to be at some of the places when the woman flees into the wilderness.
Yes.
And that's exactly where we're going to start the tour, is in Jordan. Where was Moses? Where was Abraham? We're going to see those places. I was thrilled when we went out into the Midian Mountains when I was there last January. And, you know, we went out with a Bedouin. By the way, the tour group is going out with this Bedouin. We're going to go out into the Midian Mountains. But you just, you know, going through there, I saw a number of camel caravans. Now, those people live exactly the way they lived 4,000 years ago, and it's like normal traffic. I mean, everywhere you look, to the right, to the left, there's the, you know, it's like there's camel caravans, you know.
I just got a funny picture in my mind, you know, a helicopter.
And
today, on the south part of the desert, we have a camel pileup. You may want to avoid that by going through this other, you know, crack of the dirt.
Oh, that's funny. I got a visual too on that.
but it was true. We were in the back of a pickup truck, and on the right side was a camel caravan, and on the left side was a camel caravan. And you know, that's the way they still move around. In fact, you know, it was funny when I was talking with Harb. He's a Bedouin with a tour company there where we're going to go. And we were talking and he finally said, "Hey, let's stop talking and go look at some rocks." And he took us out into the desert, and I'm telling you, those Midian mountains are exquisite.
Yes,
they're so beautiful. And he drove us out through those between the rocks, you know, and then we came to this place where it just opened up. And in my mind's eye, I just immediately saw the tents of Jacob there. I just, something in me just knows that there were a bunch of Israelites there, you know? and I mean, it's just a huge place. And in fact, it would not surprise me if that wasn't the place where they were camped when they were getting ready to move on to Mount Sinai. And remember Jethro? Because this is Yitro's area. This is Jethro's area.
Yes.
This
yes.
is where Moses was when he met Zipporah. And remember they met up with Jethro just before they went to Mount Sinai, right? It yes. would not surprise me if we find out sometime in the future that that's where they were. You know, it's like, oh, it was so exciting. I just was crying. Those mountains are so beautiful.
Yes, they are.
So what's going to go, besides looking at rocks, what else is going to go on during the tour? Those beautiful rocks.
We're going to go up to Petra. We're going to take the King's Highway. You know that highway that the Bible says is going to run from Assyria to Egypt? You know, that's the King's Highway. That has existed for thousands of years. And in fact, Yeshua traveled on that highway. And today it's paved, and you know, you just drive it for like 2.5-3 hours and you get from Aqaba to Petra. So we're going to go up there and visit Petra. We're going to live in, but back in the Midian Mountains, we're going to actually live in Bedouin tents. Harb has a beautiful area there with the Bedouin tent structures and beds inside them. And we're going to have our meals there. He's got a beautiful area, covered area. It looks like, it's decorated for the southwest of the United States. I said to him, "Wow, I could be in Arizona." He just smiled. So anyway, so we're going to do that. What else are we going to do, Aliana?
Well, after we've been in the Bedouin camp, we're going to go back into Aqaba, stay in a beautiful hotel, you know, kind of refresh after being out in the desert a little bit. Stay there for, I think it's 3 days, and we're going to go out into the community and meet the believers in the Aqaba city there, and we're going to do some fun things, too. We're going to go to the Red Sea and have an outing there as well. We're going to do some shopping, which everyone loves to do.
Yippee!
So,
I love gift shops.
And the exciting thing about traveling in Israel and the Jordan is the food. The food is out of this world. So we're going to get to taste many flavors and of the food over there, and it's just going to be so exciting. I just can't wait.
Yes. Well, just so that everybody knows, there is showers at the Bedouin resort.
Yes. We do get to do that, don't we? and bathrooms. So.
And bathrooms, too, yes.
We have some friends that are Jewish that went on one of these Bedouin tours, and they loved it. And just so, because I know that there's always a concern, because people are thinking, oh, Muslims, but they went and they had such a wonderful time. They talked about the graciousness of the hosts and the amazing setups that they had. Like you were talking about the tents. I saw some of the photographs and they said they would definitely do it again. Hands down.
Yes. They're very, they are very, hostile. They take care of their guests. And, so I don't think anyone will be disappointed at all.
Oh, no, no, they won't. You know, there is a, bakery there and I can't remember the name of it, but it's everybody's favorite. So I guess we're going to get to go there anyway, but their bread and their pastries are out of this world. Oh man. I was there for, you know, like, a week or 2 weeks, and we went there like 3 or 4 times, you know. Oh, so I am actually, you know, I'm trying to lose weight right now so that when I get over there next year, I can indulge a little bit in some of those, good pastries and good food. Wow.
We went so you're going to be in Jordan and Israel, right, for your trip?
Yep. And so what are we going to do when we go over into the Israel side?
We're going to travel up to Masada, the Dead Sea, and then we're going to go stay at a kibbutz. And, by the way, just real quick, when we're in Jordan at the Bedouin camp, we're going to do a Jeep tour out in the Wadi Rum there.
Yes.
Wadi Rum.
Yes.
So we will be doing a Jeep tour there. That's going to be absolutely exciting, I tell you. The Jeep tours over there are awesome.
Yes.
And once we stay at the Bedouin, I mean at the kibbutz in Israel, and we're going to take another Jeep tour out in the Negev. And they're going to take us out to an area that's not visited hardly at all, where they have found writings on the rocks where they believe the Israelites camped as they were traveling.
Oh, wow.
So this is going to be a very exciting Jeep tour as well. And
so
then we'll
go ahead.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
No, just I was just going to tell you what was next, but you had a question?
No, I was going to say, so this is kind of new for you too, isn't it? What you're doing?
This particular route, yes. We have not been in the Jordan and actually stayed overnight. We have gone to Petra, where we have crossed the border at Eilat and went into Jordan. But we've never stayed overnight, this is the first time for that, but
okay.
We're looking forward to doing that.
All right.
We have taken smaller groups out in the Negev on Jeep tours, never a large group, which we're looking forward to doing that as well.
Very good.
So,
all right. So you were talking about you're going to be in a rarely visited site on a Jeep tour in the Negev.
Right. And then after we do that, we're going to go into Jerusalem from there for one night. And then we're going to head out the next day to the Galilee. We'll stay in the Galilee for a couple of nights and then we go back into Jerusalem for the rest of our stay.
Yes. So, and a couple of weeks ago we had Daniel Carmel on, and we're gonna get to go out on that boat, and we're gonna worship the Lord out on the Sea of Galilee, and I almost am crying again. So that's
thinking about that.
I know, it's amazing. Oh my goodness! See, this tour is called Returning Home. When we go, where the wilderness is, when we go where the woman is going to be nurtured there in, you know, Southwest Jordan and in those other places where Joni in the previous hour was talking about, we will already be home because that area belongs to Israel anyway. But
right.
we're going to be there getting cleaned up. And so I'm taking people there first because at the end of the Great Tribulation, he comes. Yeshua will come and let us free from there. He will open the gates of the sheepfold and let us out. We will then travel back up to Jerusalem. By the way, when the Great Tribulation starts, those who are in Judea are going to flee down the Kidron Valley and across that eagle that's there in the Dead Sea and across over into Jordan. And then we're going to go back. And it's so exciting because that's exactly how this tour works.
Yeah.
And the people that don't know about the eagle is that the water has fallen to such a degree that it looks like eagle's wings, and the King's Highway is above that. That's such a fascinating.
I know. And even on the National Geographic map, you can see its little feet. It's the talons and the wings, and that's all made up of the mountains there. And,
yeah.
You know, only in this generation, Aliana, could anybody see that eagle there because the Dead Sea level has had to fall in order for us to be able to see it. And it's a satellite image. It's not like, you know, you could in any previous generations that didn't have the satellite, like, you know, you couldn't see it, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So that's why I'm so excited about this tour. It's just about us going home.
Okay. What are the dates?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's January 10th through January 23rd.
Right. So it's, we go on the 10th and we return on the 24th. And so it's actually, you're going to be gone for 15 days.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And who's going with you, Kimberly, so far?
Well, Laura's going to be there. Laura Densmore is going. And, well, we thought we were going to get Rico to come, and he agreed to come. And then something happened. He had a scheduling conflict, but we might still be able to meet up with him because if he's on another tour there, you know, we might be able to make the two tours meet up. I don't know. We'll see about that.
That's cool.
And so then the other person I would like to come, of course, is you, but I understand, you know, things don't necessarily always happen the way we want.
I opened up that can, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
So how much money should a person bring because aside from the journey so that you can indulge in fresh breads and, the Jeep ride, of course, is included, correct?
Correct.
Just for,
yes.
You know, I know it varies from person to person as to how much money to bring, but I mean, what do you recommend as a ballpark figure?
We recommend at least $500 per person or more to be able to, like you said, indulge in the pastries and the extras. On our tour, the breakfast and dinner buffets are included, so they don't have to worry about that. They just have to worry, you know, bring money for lunches if they want to buy a lunch. And, of course, their souvenirs and any other extras that they may want to buy.
What is it that we'll be right back. On the other side, I have more questions.
commands, the same shall be called great in the Malchut HaShamayim.
AM 1220, KPJC Salem.
Welcome back, everybody, to the last half hour of the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, a show that goes by oh so quickly. Anyway, so we were getting some information from you on the other side of the hour, Aliana. But one of the things that I wanted to stress right away is that the tours that you do are very, very complete. And by that, I mean that everything is included in the tour. The only things that are not included in the tour are your lunch. And like, if you want to, you know, go somewhere in the evening, take a cab or, you know, buy souvenirs or whatever, and your travel insurance. I see a lot of tours online and, I see that they'll say, well, you know, it's $2,800, but, you know, you don't get your dinners, you don't get breakfast, you don't get, and you do this wonderful thing where at the end of the tour, you do a special farewell meal in Israel. And oh, by the way,
another reason to lose weight. Your mouth is watering. I can hear it.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to slurp on the air, but that was so good.
You can't help but do that, right?
Oh, yeah. So the tour includes the round trip ticket, the hotel for the whole thing, all the tips to the tour guides and the drivers, breakfasts and dinner buffets, and oh, by the way, those buffets are so good, and the farewell meal. And now the price of this is going to be $4,000 if you sign up before August 15th. After August 15th and to when, like mid-October, Aliana?
Yes.
Okay, so after August 15th, it's $4,200. So make sure you get signed up for this before August 15th. And you know, somebody will probably say, well, I can do this tour over here for, you know, $3,800 or $3,500, but you're not getting to go to see the places in the wilderness where the woman will be nurtured.
Yes, and you're covering, listen, you are covering from one end of Israel down into the Jordan, which normal tours do not do both. They,
right.
You don't see too many tours that will go into both places. And for this price, it's a very good price. So,
yeah.
So you're literally covering from one end of Israel to the other. And so that's what is really exciting about this tour, because a lot of tours, they don't want to go into Petra because it takes time to do all of that.
Yeah.
But we're making the time, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, that'll be so great. And meeting some of the people that we've interviewed on the show, like Joni,
yes,
who we just had on the show.
Yes.
Larry
and Larry and Pam.
Pam.
Yeah.
And other people that we've had on the show as well.
Yeah. A lot of those people, in fact, probably all of them will get to meet. Remember when we did the, I did the interview when I was in Jordan, we played it on Hebrew Nation Radio.
That's
with
right.
All the people in the community. That wasn't all the people in the community, but it was all the people that was there at that dinner.
Right. There weren't 70 interviews.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So what's, I am curious, what's the most popular item that people typically purchase when they're out there as a tourist? Is it the menorah? No. Is it a tallit? Is it?
Well, it's usually a combination of everything, but
yeah.
I would say the most popular is the shofars, because okay. they get to pick it from the land. And so that's one of the most popular, and the menorahs. I'd say I see a lot of people buying the menorahs while they're in the land.
All right. I like that. That is so neat.
You know, we went shopping down at, what's that place, Aliana?
The Ben Yehuda?
Yeah, Ben Yehuda. And we had those pitas, you know, with the mixed grill. What are they called?
The falafels?
Not the falafels. It's mixed, lamb and.
Oh, the, shawarma.
The shawarmas. Oh my yes. goodness. Oh, the shawarmas.
Shawarmas. I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Best
She's
kept
drooling
secret
again.
In the world. Yeah, we're going again.
That's the whole purpose for the tour. You probably didn't know that.
Yeah, right. Really. I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, come and see Petra and Jerusalem, but really we're going for the shawarma.
That's funny.
Oh,
I would like to say something. This tour, we're taking LL Airlines, great airlines. One of the safest. But I'd like to mention that if they're traveling from different parts of the USA to JFK, if they book their flight with oh gosh, it just went right out of my head. JetBlue.
Okay.
If they book their flight with JetBlue, JetBlue works with LL.
Oh.
So they can put their luggage on at their departing airport, and it will go all the way to Tel Aviv.
Oh, check your luggage and head off to Tel Aviv. Hey,
right.
That's great. That saves, that saves lugging it through the airport.
Exactly. And because they work together, the cost is very, very reasonable.
Okay.
That's a good tip.
So they need to mention that they're going to Israel. I guess they would know
yes.
that.
Yes. Whenever they check in, they just if they're flying JetBlue, tell them they're flying LL to Tel Aviv, and they'll take it from there.
Wow.
And that, you just tell them you want your luggage to go all the way to Tel Aviv.
Yeah, I flew from Seattle to JFK on Delta. Don't recommend it. Delta comes in at the far end of JFK, and then you cart all your luggage all the way from there through that roundabouty thing they think made, you know, JFK so wonderful, and all the way over to there. You know, it's
yes.
like, oh,
yes.
I felt like a camel, you know.
We want people to enjoy the whole tour, including the domestic part of getting to JFK, because it can be a little challenging. But if you book it with JetBlue, it's, you know, right now they're working with LL, and that will save you a lot of headaches.
Right. And one of the things that I want to let people know is that we are going to have good teachings on the tour. We've got some people lined up to teach, and I'm going to be doing some teaching. And if it's possible for Rico to come on and do some teaching, that would be really, really wonderful. We're going to have some really good speakers and teachers on this tour in both Jordan and in Israel.
Yes, and our tour guide is phenomenal.
And who Hillel. Is our tour? Hillel? Oh, we're getting Hillel? Oh!
Absolutely.
Oh! You hadn't told me this bit of news. Oh, he's so good. This man is so good. I love him. He's sweet and he's funny. Oh my goodness, this man is so funny. He had us in stitches.
And he loves the people. He interacts with you. He gets you involved. He keeps the energy level of the tour just at a high. I mean, that's what we love about him.
Yes. Yeah. He is, he's just excellent. And the interaction between him and Rico, you know, they fed off of each other, and, but he was pretty good at feeding off of most everybody that was on the bus.
Yeah. He just loves what he does. I think he's been doing it. He said he's been doing this for over 40 years.
Oh, wow!
And he looks like Moses, doesn't he?
Yeah, a white hair. But listen, let me tell you what. He's in his 70s, but this man, he's always looking behind him, going, "Where are you guys?"
Oh my goodness.
I've been on his walking tour in Jerusalem, and woo, sometimes
wow.
I'm like slow down, Hillel.
Yeah. We walked for 4 hours on Shabbat with him in Jerusalem, and it was like I was having to like sprint. He was walking and I was running. So, anyway, is that your phone, Aliana?
I'm trying to shut it off. Hold on.
Okay.
There we go. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You know, if you need to go, we understand.
No, that was Ron's phone, actually. I have his phone with me, so.
So what else do you think that we need to make sure that everybody knows about this tour? Because, you know, this is an exciting tour, but, you know, we want to make sure that everybody gets all the little details because.
Yeah, like what kind of clothes do you bring? What do you recommend for shoes? What about sandals, hats, suntan lotion, that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, in January, we've had some incredibly wonderful weather, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to, you get a cold spell, and then when we arrive, the sun comes out and we have sunshine, and some places are cooler than others. So we recommend that you layer your wardrobe. So when you're out during the morning, you have your little jackets on, and you can take that off as the day heats up. And then in the evening, it does get a little cooler. Now, out in the desert, it does get cooler, very cool at night. So,
all right.
I need to
intervene there and say that those Bedouin tents do have heaters in them.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah, so you're not going to be freezing.
Right. Are they going to do a bonfire for us?
Oh, yeah. He's got a great fire pit.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
But just bring layers of clothes so that you can, you know, as the day warms up, you're able to, you know, take a jacket off, take a sweater off.
Yeah.
recommend good walking shoes because you're going to be walking on a lot of unleveled ground, rocks, lots of rocks.
Right, right.
Sand, you know, so bring good walking shoes. I wouldn't recommend sandals out in the desert.
I had walking shoes with pretty thick soles on them, and I found that I needed them because I had brought a pair of shoes with thinner soles. Not a good idea.
Yeah. So, you know, we do send that information out as everybody signs up for the tour. We send them general packing tips. We're always available if they have any questions. We don't mind phone calls so that we can help you. Any questions, we're available. If we don't answer right away, we will get back in touch with you and talk about the tour, talk about what you might need. We're here to help make this trip as easy and stress-free as possible.
Yeah, you know, you do a good job of that. I had so many questions, and I always felt kind of silly asking them, but you never made me feel silly, and you always answered me back, whether it was a phone call or an email, so I really did appreciate that about you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we want, you know, we're here to make your trip to Israel as stress-free as possible. And take all of that undue pressure off of people. So we're here to answer any questions. No question is silly. They're all good questions for each individual. So please don't hesitate to call.
Oh, that's right. And also, right. I wanted to let people know that today, with the launch of the tour, I do have brochure, the picture from the brochure up on Beast Watch News, and I will get the link to the Journeys R Us page for the tour up as soon as possible.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be getting it up on our website. We're right in the middle of doing a new website, so please excuse the other website. It hasn't had as much attention because we're putting our attention into a new website, but we will have your brochure information on our website. But and if anyone's interested, they just fill out the information. It'll come to us, and we'll get back with you with any questions, a brochure, if they need a brochure.
All right. So is there a phone number that can be called?
Yeah, they can call they can call 813-299-6874 or 6875.
And is there a website?
Yes, it's www.journeys.us.com. JourneysRUs.com.
Is that right. Plural? It, Journeys?
Yes.
Okay. Journeys.
Yes. Yes. And until you get your website up, what I'm going to do is just upload the brochure to my site, Beast Watch News. I tried to get that done yesterday, but, my server company that hosts my websites, the server that my websites are on actually had a technical problem, and it was down all day, and I couldn't, you know.
I think
really
it's you, Kimberly.
I know.
You seem
it must
to be, the
I know.
The factor here with bad servers.
Yeah. So anyway, so I will be getting that brochure uploaded to, to the website. Since it's up now, and so that'll be happening later today. But anyway, so it's, and that's got your information on it as well, how to contact you and everything, right? Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so don't hesitate, everybody. You know, the times are a-coming, and we need to be taking a good long gander at our new home in the very, I hope, new future, near future. Yeah. And, you know, this is a great price for this tour and a wonderful all-inclusive tour. Man, you can't get better than that.
Two countries, for $4,000, 2 weeks, to be in so many various places with Kimberly as a teacher, and Laura Densmore will be going, and of course, you and your husband, and Hillel, who Kimberly just loves.
Yes.
And I mean, it just sounds like it's going to be so much fun. And I was telling Kimberly earlier today that my husband last night asked if we'd won the lottery yet. And I think we did when we had, I thought we did when we had twins. I'm rethinking that. But I said, no, we haven't won the lottery yet. And he goes, cause I'd like to go to school and become an economist. And I know you're going to want to go to Israel and live there. And I said, well, yeah, you're right. And he said, no, you can't go there. You have to stay here with me. So I was like, we'll see. I mean, if I win the lottery, you know, it'll be millionaires here.
then he can go to school in Israel, and you can live in Israel.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So, Pam told us that. And I was like, yeah, that's right.
But, oh, my goodness, how much fun would that be, huh? I put myself to sleep sometimes. Instead of going to sleep with worries, I go to sleep with, okay, if I won $50 million, what would I do? Yeah. You know, and I start distributing it. And it's just fun to do that because it truly is less to give than to receive.
Yeah. You know, if I won $50 million, I would pay for everybody's trip over to Jordan and Israel.
It would be no problem. It would be no problem.
No problem. Yeah.
Nope. Except poor United States. We'd leave all these, you know, people back here going, hey.
Hey, Aliana, before we get off the show, we've only got a couple more minutes. What is it like for you and Ron leading up to in the weeks just prior to going? I mean, you must get really, really busy.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we get very busy. You know, we have to, it's challenging, but yet we get it done. And when we're on the plane, we're like, okay, we can relax for a moment.
we can breathe for 10 hours.
Yes, exactly.
We can't make any phone calls, no internet. We're here to rest.
I love
that. I tell you, it's an honor and a privilege to be part of God's work, and bringing the people to Israel is truly an honor and a privilege. And we get very emotional every time we bring people. It just brightens our hearts up every time we see people come to the land and experience God's land.
That's a good gig.
Yes. Yeah. I'll tell you what, we even had fun traveling on El Al going over to Israel, because as soon as we're off the ground and the pilot says, you know, everybody can buckle your seat and move about the cabin. Well, they all get up and they start moving about the cabin. And, you know, the Jews are all talking to each other, and there's this like this party atmosphere, and the stewardesses are up and down the aisles, and they're serving you food, and you get, you know, food, and then they come and they give you drinks, and then you get food and more drinks. And then everybody goes and stands in the back of the airplane at the kitchen, you know, and talks. And, you know, it was great. I had as much fun on the way over almost as I did when I was in the land. It's just wonderful. And then, of course, you know, the clapping when we touched down in Israel, you know. Wow. forward to it, Asiana. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Light now shines, the darkness must flee. The darkness must flee from the living word. His light now shines, the darkness must flee. Yeshua is the